I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anki, let's talk about the future of the music industry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because you started something that's called Snafu Records. So let's start there. What is that?
So the idea behind Snafu Records is, we want to be the music company of the 21st century. There's a lot of music that gets put out every year, and, with tools becoming more and more democratized to make music, there's going to be even more incredible music coming out than curators or almost like humans, even on a grand scale, know what to do with.
Yeah.
And so the idea for us was, we want to find the 30 or the 40 or the 50 most talented artists in the world with our tech tools and help bring them to the world, essentially.
So are you a music company or a tech company?
It really depends on who's asking. I would say we're a music company at heart with that's backed up by the best tech there is available. And because, again, if you're an artist today in 2018, there is so much clutter out there. You need someone to help you cut through that clutter. And that someone needs to speak the two universal languages in the world. And that's the language of music and the language of math.
Yeah.
The idea is that Snafu speaks both fluently.
All right. So what is your idea? Your idea is to, among all these giant masses of music, find the music that has the potential of being hit songs.
Exactly. So the idea is that we have algorithms that look across the internet for signals of whether or not a piece of music is connecting with an audience. And it doesn't matter if that's like a hard rock 70s band that's playing in a garage, or it's a pop princess from Morocco.
Yeah.
They're all treated the same by the algorithm. It's just, we're just looking for signals that something is connecting, and then we ask ourselves, can we take this to the next level? And, is this something that we can bring to the masses, essentially, and turn into a global hit rather than a hit within a niche?
All right. But, I mean, this is quite a tough challenge, because you got a lot of big companies out there, music companies. So how are you going to what are they, why can't they do the things that you are doing?
Interestingly, because before this, I worked at one of the biggest ones for about 4 years, and that was essentially my job, to find talented artists that are raising their hands up through the data.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, we have like quite good understanding of what the business and the artist community in general needs. I think there is always going to be a need for for a, massive major record label to take an artist from, let's say, 60 kilometers per hour to 200.
Yeah.
But we specialize in taking the artist from 0 to 60, and then maybe, you know, maybe we'll take it from 60 to 200 as well. But our niche is, you know, so we think there's a gap where you know all players can coexist.
So how does it gonna how does your company is going to change my way of listening to music?
That's actually a quite interesting question, because in a way, we've kind of had this debate internally where if you're finding things purely based on data and on what the masses are saying, is that going to influence then, you know, what you're what gets listened to, and thus is that going to influence what gets created?
And
in a way, I don't know if we're going to be able to tell. I don't know if we're looking to change your listening behavior. I think we're just looking to bring to you this girl who's, you know, been singing, you know, who started her career singing in her mom's basement in Morocco that you would have otherwise never found. And so we're looking for remarkable artists and remarkable stories and bring them to the average listener. So in that sense, I think you're going to find artists that you otherwise would never have, you know, come across if it. Hopefully, if it weren't for Snafu.
All right. And your way of doing that is to use some kind of smart algorithm.
Exactly.
To find this music that sort of attracts people from a very low base, and then gradually you sort of gets bigger and bigger, and then you pick it up, and then you.
That's correct. So we use a mixture of several different machine learning algorithms to find signals of success at an early stage. And I would, you know, the way I would maybe try to explain it is, in the traditional music business, if you were an A&R, if you were a talent scout, right, you always had like a network of people that you, whose ears you relied on, you know, to pass you, oh, this is a cool new producer, you should check him out, or you should check her out. And you were always only as good as your network. And the idea behind this, you know, is that the algorithm is designed to be the biggest network in the world. So you know, just imagine it being like millions of different scouts that you have out there, like listening for stuff that might react, and then bringing it to you. And so we're able to curate on a much larger scale than maybe other people are doing today.
And are you the father of this algorithm?
Yes, I would say so. It's funny, you know, because we tried to give the algorithm a name, Al Gore, and it didn't work. You know, it didn't stick.
Could have called it Ankit.
Yeah, could have called it Mini Ankit. Yeah. But so I came up with it. Now we have an incredible tech team that kind of, you know, took that and has developed it even further. So now I'm obviously doing a bit of everything in the company.
So that's kind of the secret sauce in the company, these algorithms. You're not going to tell me what's it based on, huh?
I can give you a taste.
Yeah, give me some taste.
You know, I can't tell you the recipe for Coke, but I can give you a taste. so essentially it looks at Spotify, it looks at SoundCloud, and it looks at YouTube, it looks at Apple Music. It looks at pretty much... It looks at all the big platforms, and it looks at all the publicly available data that there exists around a given track on those platforms. Mm-hmm. And then within that, we have, maybe this is the part I won't go too deep.
Where you can't be too specific.
Exactly. Right, and then within that, we look for certain KPIs, mm-hmm. Certain indicators of success, which mm-hmm. we've, you know, been working on for a few months.
Yeah.
And as soon as the song starts ticking enough indicators, 3 or 4, then, you know, that means the song is kind of raising up its hand, saying, like, you know, it's starting to bubble. It's saying, you know, pick me up.
Listen to me.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of when we go in and then a human tries to evaluate, okay, is this something that makes sense for us? Is this something that we could take to the next level with the toolbox that we have?
All right. So you have like, so it's not only sort of robot-driven music, you have like people, actual people who sort of
Absolutely.
Get the hands on this song.
And the thing is, I think that's, again, you know, coming back to the future of the music business, I think that's kind of going to be the future of the music business, that the, you know, that the future executives will have one foot in the tech side and one foot in the creative side.
Yeah.
It's not really, you know, because there's been huge debates recently also, you know, just across the tech, you know, especially like right now, tech is getting like a pretty bad reputation because people are using it for
tech and data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think the debate is not necessarily man or machine. I think the inevitable is that, you know, like man and machine together are going to be a lot more efficient and a lot more effective. And I think our, you know, our philosophy has always been, we're convinced that this is the new way that business in general is going to work. And so our duty is to get there first and do it responsibly. So we set the standard for how we use algorithms, how we use machine learning, and how we use AI in what is very much an inherently creative field.
Yeah.
And that's what's super exciting to us at the moment.
But then again, you have to prove yourself. You're only like 4 months old.
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's it's easy to talk, but harder to do it. So what's going to happen now?
Well, we have, you know, we have our first five deals that we've just signed. Obviously, we're not completely new to the music business. You know, I've, you know, I worked with some of the biggest artists in the world at Universal Music and then at Capitol Records for the last 4 years. Carl, who's in our team, has written number one hits for everything from Nicki Minaj to Avicii to One Direction to Ariana Grande. So in that sense, you know, we have a track record. We have at least the credibility to get us, you know, to get the door open for us. But then, of course, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's the question is going to be if we can deliver.
Yeah.
And we're confident that we can.
So these artists that you've signed now, are they totally sort of unknown names or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the idea, to pick up unknown artists or unknown people.
And make them household
make them stars,
names, essentially. And I mean, and just to give you an idea, one of the, you know, one of the first artists that we signed is a girl from, you know, from a small farm in Minnesota. And, you know, we've found her first pop track, you know, I think on day three or day four when it came out. And then, you know, so it's really, really early stage artists that we're trying to find. And then try to give them, you know, add some gunpowder in there and, you know, hopefully, you know,
put them out there.
Put them out there, yeah.
But how are you going to do that? Because I'm not a specialist on music industry, but I mean, you have like quite a big, few big companies who have all like the sales power and all the distribution and all the channels, and there you come like a new company.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing, finding the artists, but how do you get them out there? How do you get them to me?
Exactly, and that's actually a really, really good question. Basically, I guess the ace in the hole in this case is that you try to find artists that are already cutting through the clutter on their own. You know, they're doing something that's already working, so you don't want to mess with that secret sauce. Usually what they just need in most cases is either infrastructure support, so kind of to take their music and put it in front of the right, you know, put it in front of the right partners, put in some marketing money to kind of like help that artist progression on their way, or some creative support that, you know, I have a great song, but I want David Guetta to remix it. We can make that happen. Well, I guess, you know, we can at least ask David Guetta if that can happen.
You have like the phone number at least.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, the offering that we have to the artists.
Yeah.
And again, you know, you have to remember that this is still very early stages.
Yeah.
And this is where we're starting. But the idea is to have a 21st century toolbox that you offer to artists.
Yeah. So what's stopping like the big existing music companies to do the same thing that you're doing?
I would probably say that, you know, none of them have problems specific to them, but they just have big company problems.
Yeah.
You know, if you're making as much money as the big companies make off of having the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Queen, et cetera, a lot of kind of, you know, their business is first of all built on their catalog, and then it's built on their superstars.
Yeah.
And the problem that I saw when I was working in the major label business was that the new artists, when they're really just need resources and nurturing the most, is when they're having to compete the most for those resources with Taylor Swift and Drake.
Yeah.
And so
the big music companies, they rather go for the sort of safeguards or the safe artists, or
well, I think they would also rather try to find like the next superstar.
Yeah.
But when you're put in that position, you know, just it's like a human problem. It's hard to justify, should I put $1 million into this unknown artist from Arkansas, or should I put $1 million into, you know, more sales for my superstar that's gonna, you know, contribute to my bottom line today rather than in 3 years.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, but that's like a big company problem, essentially.
Yeah.
And so I think kind of this transformation that they will go through it.
Yeah.
But we think we have a window of time where we can be first and we can try to be faster.
But do you think there's a problem that you sort of, because I mean, when I think of, when you have an algorithm,
yeah,
who listen to all this data, to all this music, is there a problem of getting too streamlined, getting too, you sort of, you know, this machine designing what we're going to listen to, you know, that,
yeah,
that fear sort of, is there a problem there?
Honestly, this is like a debate that we struggle with constantly. Because
I'm not the first one.
Right, exactly. And you know, as like music people ourselves, like it's, you know, it's, we want to make sure that this is something that gets done responsibly.
Yeah.
It's just, I, you know, like, but we read a stat recently where the average hit rate for a talent scout at a major label in the UK is about 5.7%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, out of, I think, 120 deals that they gave out, like, 8 of them, like, 6, like, were actually, like, successes. And that's a quite low number, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, you know, it's proven now, numbers, that, like, if you use a more data-driven approach, it's,
yeah,
you can be more effective and more efficient. So the way we see it, there's only one way it's going to go.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that we do it responsibly, and we need to make sure that there is like that human X factor of creativity in it.
Yeah. Because you always have this human hand in the sort of, in, at the end, sort of,
exactly,
picking out the final sort of hits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's the goal.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do.
But could you do it the other way as well? Could you use your algorithm to sort of make hits from zero?
Yes, I think that's going to be a much tougher problem.
Yeah.
And also, you know, again, it raises a lot of ethical questions about what is creativity and what is machine creativity. And I'm sure that somebody is going to do it or try to do it in the future. One way would be to just look at, you know, try to look at music and decipher rules of, you know, like all the songs that were on the top 200 tend to follow, you know, tend to have these notes in them, or tend to have. And so in that sense, you know, you could plausibly create a roadmap for an artist to create more hits. But I think that's still kind of, you know, it's still on the horizon. It's not, I don't think that we're close to being able to do that. And by we, I mean like the music business.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, AI-driven music is just like a completely different, you know, it's starting to get really good. And I think we're still quite far from the first AI-written hit.
Yeah.
But AI music is already still doing, you know, great, like, piano music, excuse me, great ambient music, great restaurant music.
Yeah.
And like, I think all of those are gonna happen a lot faster, and there's companies out there that are already doing it really well. So our goal, I think, for now is going to be really to just, because we really believe that all the music that you as a consumer need to hear has already been created.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 4 or 5 million songs out there being put out. You know,
it's
more
just
than
a matter
you can,
of finding it.
It's just a matter of finding it and bringing it to you, and that's the idea for us.
So what do you think, if you look like 5 years, and 5 years, that's quite a long time, but five years from now, what's it going to be like, the music industry?
Honestly, I think in an ideal world, there's going to be, I think the biggest difference from where it is today is going to be the people working in the music industry, where everybody has a much more solid foundation in data and numbers, along with kind of, you know, the creative side of, you know, of their brain as well. So I think the biggest change is going to be personnel-wise, where, you know, the music industry and the tech industry will almost, you know, sort of merge towards, you know, towards tech. And I think that's one. Another thing is that I think there's going to be a lot more AI-assisted music that's, you know, looking at kind of how you're writing songs as an artist, and it's going to start suggesting, oh, you know, it sounds like you're writing a... sounds like you're writing a hit. Maybe try this note, you know, because 70% of all the songs that worked on the Billboard Top 200 follow the G chord with the F, for example.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, like, very plausible to happen in the next 5 years. Hopefully Snafu is one of the biggest music companies in the world in 5 years.
I guessed you would say that.
Well, you know, we're not, you know, we're... We try to be humble.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But I'm looking forward to you, to listening to your artists.
Absolutely.
So let's get a coffee before you do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's
do it. What are you having?
I'll have a black coffee without sugar.
All right. I'll go for a cappuccino.
Perfect.
Varje dag äter jag lunch med en spännande person som jag aldrig tidigare har träffat. Jag äter mina luncher på Strand Hotel i Stockholm, och de här mötena ger mig en massa inspiration och en massa nya idéer. Det där vill jag dela med mig av, och i den här podden så får du möta några av alla de kreatörer som är med och skapar det nya näringslivet. Är du nyfiken på vem jag lunchar med varje dag, så följ mig på Ulfs lunch på Instagram. Jag bjuder på lunchen, du på idéerna. Snart kanske vi ses på en lunch.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're gonna love.
Hey lady, it's Terry here.
And Dr. Dom. And we're the hosts of the Her Space podcast. In a world where Black women are often underrepresented and misunderstood, we need more safe spaces to just be.
Every Friday, join us as we initiate authentic conversations for Black women. Be sure to tune into Season 4, Episode 11, The Four Levels of Friendship and How to Spot Fake Friends. And check out Her Space wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the U.S. and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.